people are tired and they're burnt out and it's hard to plan. But if you can do just a little bit of planning, then I think your summer will go smoother and everybody will feel better.
Do you long to embody mindfulness and compassion in your parenting life? Yeah, me too. Welcome to Mindfully Parenting Atypical Kids. Let's go on this journey together.
Season 2 of Mindfully Parenting Atypical Kids is going to be all about getting ready for summer, staying on track with summer, and having the most chill, joyful, and fulfilling summer that you and your family can. Hi, parents. Are you feeling overwhelmed parenting your neurodivergent kids during these stressful times? Yeah, me too. Welcome to Mindfully Parenting Atypical Kids, a neurodiversity affirming parenting podcast where you'll find connections, strategies, and support for your journey. Our podcast is young and needs your support to grow. So please leave an honest review on Apple Podcasts so that other parents can find it and receive the support, connection, and tools that we're sharing here.
Hi, everyone. I'm here with Amy Weber.
She's a clinical social worker and specializes in working with children and their families. Let's get into our topic so parents know why they're here and what they can expect. We're going to talk about summer and specifically planning for summer. Yes, there might be programs, camps, whatever that our kids are involved in, but it's much more about really taking initiative and planning. And sometimes that's by the end of a long year, that's the last thing we want to do is sit down and really plan ahead. We want to be spontaneous. I know I love to be spontaneous.
I also love spontaneity. And I think, you know, nobody wants to sit down and plan out their fun. And for kids, I think they finish the school year and they're like, done, you know, get me out of here. And I don't want to answer to anybody this summer. I just want to hang out and have a real break. But what we know about kids in general, and certainly kids who are neurodivergent, is that they do need some kind of structure. There needs to be some kind of, even if it's kind of a loose plan in place, there needs to be some kind of predictable rhythm to the day.
Otherwise, for many kids, I'm sure there are some kids who don't need the structure or actually thrive on more spaciousness. But I know for Ocean, having a little bit of containment, a little bit of a structure, even if it's an outline or a loose structure, and specifically knowing when it's okay to play video games.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big one, is when, you know, kids often have the idea that, okay, now it's summer, I'm going to play video games all day long for the next 10 weeks. And that's often not on parents' agendas.
Even if your kid is in camp every single week, you still have weekends. You're still going to have downtime with your kids and probably more downtime than you would during the school year. Or just less structure and maybe more anticipation, would you say? I mean, I know when I'm thinking about summer, I'm thinking, oh, well, this is the time I get to swim. This is the time I get to relax more, be in nature more, have those spontaneous moments and those long kind of lazy afternoons with my family.
Yeah. And I think that is important to plan for it. And it sounds funny to think about planning for relaxation. But I think it's important to kind of sit down and look at the calendar and say, okay, so we do want to see family this summer. We do, you know, and I know that this is one of the things that you do with your family, you know, having a planning meeting what's everybody's goal for the summer? What's the number one thing you want to do this summer, or learn, or, and I know one of your things is feel. How do you want to feel this summer? What do you want your vibe to be, for the next 10 weeks?
I like that vibe.
Parents, so I have a practice for you that goes along with the summer vibe theme. When things start to get a little heated, if that happens for you this summer or this spring, or anytime you're feeling a little hot around the collar, that you can turn to this practice, and it doesn't have to take a long time. You might do one breath, you might do five breaths, and in general, if a breath practice doesn't help you by the fifth breath or within a minute, it may not be the right one for you. Don't give up entirely on breathing practices, because sometimes it's just a little trial and error until you find one that helps you to self-regulate. Okay, so cooling breaths, Siddhi Pranayama, stick out your tongue. And if your tongue doesn't make a U-shape naturally, you just stick it out like you're panting like a dog, but you'll breathe in over your tongue. So breathe in through your curled tongue or over your extended tongue. When you fully breathe in, then close your mouth and breathe out slowly through your nose, as if you're fogging a mirror right in front of you. So slow out-breath through your nose, and we'll do it again. Breathe in over your extended tongue or through your curled tongue. Breathe out slowly through your nose. 3 to 5 of these. Maybe you'll feel a difference. Maybe you'll start to feel a little coolness on your tongue or the back of your throat. And maybe you'll start to feel yourself chilling out a little too.
I start with getting the time when everyone agrees to come together. And that's often hard, just in and of itself, like getting them agree to sit down, you know, maybe after dinner. I don't know. It's always food for me, but we have ice cream. Being somewhere that feels safe, you know, that safety is really important. And then, yeah, I start off with asking everyone, how do you want to feel this summer? Specifically for summer, I think, getting out all that, those bucket list things, like those things that we have those plans, we just haven't shared them with anyone else in our family yet. The kid might have that plan to be on their iPad the entire summer. And I might have a plan that, you know, he's gonna learn to ride his bike finally, you know, or that I'm gonna get to go swimming a lot, or, you know, my husband, one time when we were doing this, we've done it a few years, I said, how do we want to feel? How does each of us want to feel this summer? And he said, I want to feel waves. So I wrote it down. Like, there are no wrong answers.
Yeah.
So I get as many of those, just any feelings, never, you know, and nothing is the wrong answer. And then get another piece of paper. And we've talked about this before with parents, that like writing down what kids say can be really empowering.
And kids do like it. They like to see their name up there. They like to see their words. And it makes them feel like you're taking this very seriously, which you should be. You know, nobody's idea is wrong. And I think that's so important. And if your kid has the idea of being on their device for 6 hours a day for the next 10 weeks, it might not be your idea, but writing it down, it doesn't mean it's going to happen just exactly as they say it is. But sometimes you can also get to what the actual goal is, which might be to master this game. whatever the reason is that they need to be on their device. And you can do a little bit of digging to find out what's behind the needing to be on the screen.
Yeah, getting to more, that's like the visceral feeling. And what I found with Ocean, it wasn't that, you know, this compulsion so much to be on the screen as it was that he actually needs a lot more stimulation than we were giving him. And he doesn't want to be bored.
They don't always have the capacity to think of what else they could be doing. In our minds, it's like, well, pick up a book or, you know, play with those toys that we bought you that you never use, or call a friend, or let's go outside. But those aren't their ideas. They're our ideas.
Right.
And they're not going to come up with those. Mm-hmm. Those aren't the ideas that they're going to think of first.
So for example, if Ocean, you know, if we got to the feeling and the feeling that he wanted to experience was excitement, then on the next page, we just think of all the different ways we could like generate that same feeling. So we have a lot of different choices, right?
Yes.
Other than just playing Roblox.
Right.
So yeah, the next one is, how are we going to make these things actually come to fruition? Pan out, these feelings actually happen. How are we going to generate those feelings this summer specifically? And so I just write every idea down. And it's sometimes really hard not to be like, okay, 6 hours of iPad a day. Okay, I'm writing that down.
It's one idea of many.
Right.
And I think that, I mean, the collaborative problem solving model, you write down every idea. You're not ruling anything out.
Yeah.
And that's the way you get buy-in from your kid. They know that they're being heard and you're not shutting them down immediately with their idea.
Yeah. So the Ross Green's, what do they call it? Collaborative and proactive solutions.
Yeah.
Like that definitely was an influence on this process. And I just wanted to simplify it as much as possible, you know, like basically three steps that the kids are involved in, or the whole family is involved in. And one thing I want to say about both of these first two steps is we can't leave ourselves out. That is so important. You know, my husband needs to get his need met for feeling waves, right? I need to get my needs met. And especially me, if I'm the one kind of organizing it all and holding the mental load of the family, being the scheduler and the one who keeps everything kind of on track, I won't be motivated if my feelings and needs aren't being heard and met.
Absolutely. And that absolutely has to be a part of the summer planning, because otherwise by week two, you will be burnt out. You will be angry. You will be bitter. You will not have the ability to make fun for anybody else because you are not, your voice was not heard. And I think so often parents, meaning well, do everything for their kids, right? They prioritize the kids' vacations and the kids' plans and they forget about that this is their summer too, and that they can also take a little bit of a break from their routine and that their needs are important. If they're working, they can still make time to go to the beach or to go to an outdoor concert or to, you know, whatever would fuel them. Whether it's with the whole family or you get to jump off on a little break, but for yourself,
have a little time to yourself.
Yeah.
If that's at all possible, you know, Ocean loves going to Coney Island and riding the rides. And what I found is I don't like standing. I don't go on rides. And I also don't like standing and waiting for my kid to go on rides, but John has no problem with it. My husband has no problem with it. So, you know, I'll go once or twice, but I won't go every single time. And Ocean, he has a really hard time with sand. And I love the beach. So, you know, we have to navigate that. But it doesn't mean that I don't go to the beach ever again just right. because he has a hard time with sand. We have to find ways to navigate it. And we have. Having all of our feelings heard, our desires and needs met, and our expectations really listened to as well, and really allowing ourselves to have those needs.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the antidotes to burnout. It's like, what do I need? Let me figure out what I need in order to show up in my wholeness.
Yes. And I think often parents and certainly women feel selfish when they think about their own needs.
Well, many of us primary caregivers have been socialized to be givers.
Right.
And I read this book, Burnout. I don't know if you've read it, but by the Nagoski sisters.
I recommend it.
But it's all about, you know, some of us being socialized. And yeah, there are gender biases in general. You know, they talk about women and men, but I just like to keep things a little more gender neutral because it could be different just depending on your own unique circumstance of how you were raised. But some of us were raised as human doers, right? And some of us were raised as human givers. And, you know, that's their whole theory. I did, as much as like being socialized that I'm supposed to help other people and put their needs first, that's definitely true for me. So it has been a lot of work to notice when the guilt comes up, to notice when the resentment starts to come up, and then address that resentment with what am I actually not giving to myself? Because mm-hmm. I'm an adult. I have agency. I can make choices. You know, when we're thinking about planning, it's so important to put ourselves in the mix.
Yes. Yes. And it does not mean that you are selfish.
But at least bring it all into the mix. Yes. And so the next step, so we've got to ask everyone how they want to feel. Second step is ask everyone, how are we going to make these feelings happen? And the third step is now we start honing in. So everyone gets to pick one of those things, right? One of those activities, and like circle it or highlight it or write it in their own color. And then we figure out how we're going to make that particular dream come true.
That is where a lot of negotiation will come.
Yes.
And flexibility. And one of the things that I certainly notice when I am setting limits in my therapy practice or with my niece and nephews, I will often have the impulse to say, well, we're not doing that. And I've really started to stop myself and think, do I have to say no? Like, is there a real reason to not just say yes? And if there is a reason to not say yes, then could I say no, but, and give in some way? Could there be part of a yes to this request? So maybe you cannot live with 6 hours of iPad time. But maybe you can live with three or four, or if it's one day in the summer, you know, if you mm-hmm. like, okay, have your blowout day where you are just on the iPad and we don't see you for the entire day.
Right. And no one live stops it up. You. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. If that is your dream for this summer, is there a reason to say no? Is there a reason to say no if that's the plan every day? Yes. But is there a reason to say no to one day of that? Not really. As long as the day doesn't conflict with another plan, you know, that you are trying to accomplish as a family,
it's good to get on board with like what everyone's plans are, because there might be a day, but then we have to schedule that in.
As you are thinking about, okay, so what's the number one thing you want to do? How can I say yes to this? Right. And how many of these things can I say yes to?
Well, we start with one each. Each of us gets to circle one, and we focus on that. If we can't say yes to it, to give it in fantasy or in a different way to get those needs met. It's a good one. All of this takes more effort than just letting the kid be on the iPad or just letting the kid be bored and, you know, sitting and watching Netflix or whatever, you know. And, you know, it's important to acknowledge that and also to give ourselves downtime.
Especially after the last couple of years, we all need a break. And I would think about what can you live with? Can you live with your kid on Netflix an hour a day? Can you live with them on playing video games? You know, what's the amount of time that you, if they did that, like you will feel fine. Give them that and give yourself that break. People are tired and they're burnt out and it's hard to plan. But if you can do just a little bit of planning, then I think your summer will go smoother and everybody will feel better.
Keep it really short, really like quick and dirty. Just get all these things out and then, you know, come up with, for each person, one kind of bucket list thing, that, and then put it on a schedule. And that's my fourth step. And, you know, the kids could or not be involved in this, but actually put it on a schedule and have the schedule visible so that everyone knows when and how their needs are going to be met and that everyone's needs are valued. So that has helped, like, understanding what my priorities are and why I have those priorities and what kind of my motivation is has helped Ocean be more open and flexible to things that are not his preferred activity, because he got to be heard too, and we all deserve to be heard. Make it visible, schedule in the rest, schedule in the bucket list items, and then make it really visible.
Yeah. And it gives you something to look forward to. How, you know, when is this trip to Coney Island going to happen? When is the, when is your family vacation? You know, it's all right there. You can all look at the calendar and count down the days until it's going to be there. Gives a lot of excitement and anticipation, I think.
So speaking of excitement and anticipation, shall we tell parents about the workshop that we're going to offer?
Yes, we should. On June 1st at 8 p.m. and Thursday, June 2nd at noon, we are going to offer a summer planning workshop, and we will take a deep dive into these skills and these tools and help you come to the best summer ever.
And just to clarify, you'll get both of us. It's live. Yes. And it's either or. Like, you can choose whichever of these two dates are the best for you, either Wednesday night or lunchtime Thursday. And it's fine to bring your lunch, your dinner, your beverage. Relax. Don't feel like you have to show up in any particular way. And if you've had objections come up, or like, oh no, that would never work with my family, or you just want a little more hand holding, or you just think it would be reassuring to be in community with other parents who are also hoping to have a smoother, more cooperative and fun summer, please come and join us. Amy, since we've been talking about Netflix a little bit, I want to ask you a more fun and personal question. Have you watched anything fun, either a movie or a show recently?
My husband and I are big Better Call Saul fans. So we are, we just started, it's the last season and I'm devastated by it, but I will miss it very much.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
And thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
So I want to remind you about the workshops that Amy and I are offering on planning for your summer. It's having a fun and collaborative and connected summer with your family. So please join us on Wednesday, June 1st at 8 p.m. or Thursday, June 2nd at noon.
That's Eastern Standard Time.
So there will always be links in the show notes, but if you do want to reach me, you can get in touch through healthyhappyyoga.com. My Instagram is also healthyhappyyoga. You can also leave a voice message and we can answer your questions in a future episode. Remember, this is your community, so please participate. I would love to hear from you. Please remember to leave an honest review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other parents find this resource. So if it has helped you at all, please share the love. Help our little podcast grow. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining Mindfully Parenting Atypical Kids. I really appreciate you walking alongside me.